Channel 2 right, Channel 2 right, and the continuation of the visit with Everett this Saturday late, the 8th of May, 1971. Channel 2 right, and a continuation of the visit with Everett this Saturday late, the 8th of May, 1971.
Back a little while, and I kept hearing my horses, and I thought they were, I thought I heard one of them getting out, but it wasn't. It was just, I guess they just got excited.
I guess him.
Hearing
him,
these other.
Well, that's why I go
wink.
Back.
I walk down.
They ought to be back in a minute, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're winking for these out here, for the ones that's hooked to the wagon.
Yeah, I guess that's what. Why
Let
I
me
heard.
Tell you what you do. Jump in your car.
All right.
And just run down there and see when he's gonna come back, or if he wanted to check with.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll do that.
If he's I don't know what it is.
I'm pretty well jaded out and had all this trouble, and I thought I'd get in
Think
it easy, and I'll stay up. They sit up and talk over a lot. Sometimes I leave them looking at television after reading the paper and getting the news. That television, the same thing over and over. Most of the stuff is junk anyhow, and I just don't care about it.
Oh, no. I
read the paper. I'm in the Florida room, and they get in the living room, you know, where the TV is, and it doesn't worry me. I read a few magazines. Faye might like them magazines. They ladies' magazines, but she don't have time to read them. I'll give them to her and let her read them.
I talked to her. She don't need any more reading.
You don't need them.
She got more. She hadn't even read the paper. I talked to Frankie's mama, Ms.
Yeah, she's talking to me this afternoon. I carried a bag of taters, and she came out and said, Mr. Smith, how much are they? You know, talking like a nigger. But every year, you know, and I used to work over. It's been a good while since I've been over. I believe I told you it's been a good while, you know, since changing machines. I used to work over about 7-8 years.
Yeah.
And after I got this machine business, in other words, it loads them loose, you know, on the wagon, the carts and the trucks, you know. It follows the same speed the combine going, in other words. And they put them right in the wagon, you see, off the boom, the chain and the boom, you know, just like... one of these forage hogs. You've seen it, the wagon, you pull the wagon with the same machine, the forage hog to put it in. And so he didn't need me so much, and I, you know, got busy doing something else, and so I hadn't been over it a good while. But I used to bring up some potatoes, you know, what that is, commercial, just like these, had commercial in it, and had some curl, and they'd pick out the mammy potato, in other words, and eat off of them. It wouldn't last too long, but they'd eat them, they're glad to have them.
Oh, yeah.
And they were tickled, but she was teasing me. She came out, and she talked like the doctor did, you know. I knew it. She was kind of teasing. Mr. Smith, how much are they?
Yeah.
And she, you know, she's about 80 years old. I mean, herself or better.
Yeah.
But she'd always, you know, seemed like she might have told she's a wonderful person. To know one of them, get around. Just old type. Yeah, just wonderful. And I said, you don't owe me a thing. And the daughter came out, you know, and said, they appreciate them and all, and says, I said, well, Monroe had said something to me about it and wanted me to leave my bag, but I says, when I come home the weekend, I can't go to everybody's house and leave them a few potatoes, in other words. I said, I had some on. I made 4 or 5 stops in Bluntstown and Walker and Brushlock and Walker Hootie, and I sold 10 or 15 bags of potatoes, you know, 50 cents a bag. You know, make $8 or $10 or $12, you know, on the thing, you know, to help out with expenses and help hold the truck down. But after having the flat tire and had to get one of them smaller wheels, and put that big tie on it. I said, I won't bring them in the next time as I did this time. And I had over a ton of the curl potatoes because I wanted to clean the floor out, see. Then I bought H.A. a bag of those good potatoes and bought him a bag of cabbage and bought another boy out there some of these bulk red potatoes, and what, $1.25 for 25 pounds. Well, that's about half what it costs, you know, down to A&P, in other words. He just said, you don't bring him, you know. About 3 or 4 bags of them. Then I had the cabbage, and I had all my clothes, dirty clothes and laundry, and had got some of these old, they call that Home Journal and the Good Housekeeping. I don't know what they're, it's Ladies Magazine, in other words, so your sister-in-law might read. That's the reason I say she hadn't got time to read nothing. Maybe your wife, you know, would have time. If she'd like to read, she might have some articles I'd give to her. They're on the front seat. But Mitch hit it, and Margaret said, I sure says, the potatoes you bought before years ago, said they came in handy. Said, you know, we right down on the last leg, you know, for something to eat. But the mother gets a check, in other words, the welfare check, but her husband not able to work, and she doesn't work. She says she's not able, but they got that girl a job, you know, at the tomato plant business, in other words, the counting and wrapping the tomatoes, in other words, plant farm, they called it. But she didn't want to work.
The girl?
Yeah. But I don't know, her husband, why he's got this sugar diabetes, and he's got a little heart condition. And he's not, did you meet him? He's not too bright up here either. You might have seen him if you went by the house. But he's not too bright up here.
Yeah.
And but I didn't inquire about, you know, the character him and built to do anything. I helped him decide.
Well, I'm telling
they were glad to get the potatoes, in other words. And they said they tore them out. And Frankie, he come out about the time. And he had his sweatshirt on, and he was, I said, what you got there, boy? I said, look like one or two of them rotten. I said, well, they curled, no, wasn't it? I said, that's that, what do I call it, want to go with? Blackleg. I said, a blackleg, it'll eat them up. And I said, these things been in the hot sun for about 3 hours over yonder at Hawthorne, and that didn't do them any good. They're sweating. You know how potatoes, they're green.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell you not to let them, you know, get in the sun, the sunlight. And we dig them. We put them in the shade for, if we have, you know, 4 or 5 little field trucks, you know, when we start greater. You want to keep it steady, in other words, keep going, see? But it costs money, in other words, to pay that labor, in other words, you don't keep them busy. Now, if you have a breakdown, well, you cut them off payroll. They lost, I think, about 2 hours, a little better than 2 hours. And we load one of them trucks in right at 2 hours, put 42,000 to 44,000 pounds on in 2 hours. If no breakdown will come, they'll clog it up, and a lot of knot or something might get in one of them chains that'll freeze the motor up, in other words, and maybe blow a fuse, you know, but you got different circuits, in other words, and you put another one in and get your hammer or choke kettle and bust it out of the chain and put a fuse in, pull the switch and let it go again. But they got a main switch there, something that'll go wrong, pile of potatoes up here. You can pile them potatoes up, you don't put, you know, 500 or 1,000 pounds of potatoes in one pile in a little while. And they got a main switch, in other words, and they pull that main switch, that cuts off all the current on all our motors, but there's, I think there's 13 or 14 motors that run that thing.
Gee
electric
whiz,
motors. Anywhere from a half a horse to, I think, five horse, I think the biggest. Five horse electric motor. It's on that elevator, you know, the incline goes up where that little cheap bearing,
yeah,
that's the cheapest little bearing, a seal bearing I've seen. It's just about, you know, it wasn't that big and flimsy, you know, and the whole housing broke out, in other words, and that ruined it then, in other words.
Yeah.
As the boy said,
and then you had to sweat it out.
Yeah, the boy said, reckon that they can take the electric drill and just pot that thing, you know. I said, no, not cheaper that thing is. It's done deteriorated now, in other words, and not much that'll spot, too. A little thin thing, it wasn't. You don't have the thing fixed. It wasn't a, I'd say it wasn't a quarter of an inch, you know, where it broke loose. And it broke one side, and that's it broke the other side. And it dropped that belt down, and it hung, you see, where you paddled and all, it carried it on the belt.
Yeah.
So I said, call that man. I said, I'll go in there and call that man that, you know, got the patent on this thing, made it.
Yeah.
And I said, while he's out here, well, keep these potatoes from bouncing out. And I said, it don't look good, you know, for a company, you know, especially a potato chip buyer like the man, you know, from Alabama. And he's with a man at Bind that furnishing these chip people. He's a millionaire, in other words. He'll buy, you know, $100,000 worth a day over there, taters, see.
Golly.
And he drives one of them Lincoln Continental, you know, with got the people, you know, that hide the lights on the front, see.
Yeah.
But one of them trucks, you know, cuss them out, says, gee, my neddy, they got to have those potatoes, they got to have them. He's a Jew, and you know how they get. And that trucker said, I'm in order all of sort today. I said, well, you got to take a lot from these Jews. You can't, you know, run over them people. And, you know, most of the Protestants don't like Jews anyway. You know that without me telling you. They just kind of, because I guess they got the money, I reckon. But to begrudge somebody because they got something, why, they're smart enough to get it, I guess. I don't begrudge them at that point. But they're the one that's controlled the money market. You know, Wall Street, you know what I'm talking about now. They control the big interest. And he said, my wife just come out of the hospital. He lives in Jacksonville, and he's driving that terminal truck line. You're the terminal rider. Says, my wife just come out of the hospital up there. Cost me about $1,100. And he said, I've been sweating it out. Of course, the company paid me. And said, I'm on overtime here now, and the company ain't going to make none on this. I'm drawing $7 an hour, a time and a half overtime. And he says, that Jew, you know, he got me down, and he'd had, it'd been 4 hours that had been on his time, you know, he hadn't, you know, sent me out here to see you all. Now, and he sent me out here, in other words, and he's pulled off and did get to the bridge, before one of those big 24-volt batteries that those truck carry. It cost $140, $160 for one battery.
Good.
Well, one of the cap blew out. It threw the acid all over the cabin of it, and he, you know, he wanted to see what it was. He stuck his, you know, blooming head out the cab, you know, the door. It was one of those butt heads, you know, and that battery sitting right back of that butt head cab, you know, in a case. And it's about that long and about that wide. You've probably seen them. And the acid got all over his face. Mm. And he said, my face red? I said, it surely is. I said, you let that acid get on? Yeah, he said, I stuck my head around there to see what was going on after it knocked off, just like, you know, cut the switch off of it. And of course, it was that many, about 44,000 pound potatoes behind on that van. It weighs, you know, about 30,000 empty, you see. Just a whole tractor in the trailer. And he said, I, like a fool, set my head out there, but I said, I'm nervous and restless anyhow. And says, can I wash? I said, well, I said, come here to the wash house, you know, with this salt water, you know, that, you know, surface water, I call it, with one of those purifier things on it, in other words. And I said, I'll get you a box of washing powder. So I found a box in the heaven, I think two kinds. It had the Oxydol and Blue Cheer, I believe. So I picked up the Oxydol. It was more or less kind of a, like dirt cleanser, in other words, kind of a, like meal. And I said, wash your face and all of this stuff in, then I'll get you, go in the bathroom, get the alcohol, rubbing alcohol, and rub your face. But I said, they're cooking. I said, you might as well forget about the clothes you got on. Well, that acid don't know it. They just will throw them in the garbage. Well, that acid ruined them. And that's when the juice called him and warned him, oh, my goodness, say, you were supposed to have been on the road 3 hours ago and this, that, and the other. He said, you so-and-so, you let me sit down for 4 hours and it cost the company money, and they're not going to make a penny, and I can't make it run, and I can't get another battery, and the company got to bring one to Jacksonville on a pickup. And he said, that'll be an hour or better, you know, to come from Jacksonville down here on a pickup, you know, about 60 miles or eight from on number one, you know, down to St. Augustine and then Hastings. And he said, you want the so-and-so, and begin to curse on the telephone in the office, and he got an air-conditioned office. And told him, said, you get that so-and-so Lincoln Continental, come out here and pull this thing so-and-so to the scale if you want it weighed, and hook another tractor onto it. Or get another tractor of anybody and come out here and pull me out of under it and unhook from it. Well, he can't unlock the brakes, so you can't do this. I said, that's right, too. You can't do anything with it until the motor runs. But he's in a stir, but he said he's in kind of a bad mood anyhow, and he was about ready to cuss that Jew out. But they finally come to Jacksonville and put a new on him. He got me. I said, no. I said, it's true enough. So big John Deere got 24 volts, but I said, it's 212, and that other 12 don't come on until you hit the starter switch. It's just to knock that big motor over, you know, kick it over. It takes some more power. But I said, you can't put a 6-volt starter, 12-volt. You know that. And he said, that's right, too. And he said, how about getting the Hammond right and came up there? He done walked back down to the house. I said, all right, getting this pickup here. Well, the boys, I got a Ford pickup. And I said, getting here, and I'll get some tools you got into. No, we're not supposed to work on them. I said, but get a hammer and a wrench. You got a pair of battery plops on them, yeah. They got a pair here in this tray of this box. Got a screwdriver and a couple of wrenches and a battery plow and rolled him up there and over. And I said, try your horn, try your lights. He didn't have nothing. I said, well, your battery just knocked out of cell completely. I said, it happened to me, you know, with a 10-wheeler in Gainesville on the main street. And the road patrol, while he happened to come along, he helped me out. And on
oh,
the way,
did he?
Yeah.
What did he do?
He kept me, I told him I was going to stay with the truck. You know, you're not supposed to leave a truck out in the middle of the street. He said he'd carry me, you know, to that CPA, you know, attend that Farmer Mutual car and get a new battery. And he said, you want to call your boss, man? I said, no. I said, he gave me an authorization, you know, if something went wrong, use my own judgment. And I said, that's the kind of fella I like to work with. Not be like that truck, in other words. He could have got a battery out of Palatka there, in other words. And had the thing, you know, in and running, in other words. But he wasn't supposed to do it. He had to call the terminal out of Jacksonville and had to bring the battery from their office up there all the way down 60 miles, you know, to Hastings and put it in the truck and a load of those potatoes sitting out there in the boiling sun, you know. That's giving that Jew the blues. Because they're not iced to anything, you know, and he wants to get them rolling, you see. In 24 hours, it's about the most. So you take and drive it quicker than that. If they go to Atlanta, it don't take too many hours to go to Atlanta when I'm a big van. After you get it rolling, it'll go as fast as automobile, 6 to 7 miles an hour on the expressway. But he's telling us you all, and that boy finally bought it, and they finally got him rolling. But I told us, cousin boy, and all that, I said, don't worry about that fella. I said, he'll run you crazy. I said, the thing is, just kind of get along with him. But I said, the best thing to do, you work with a truck man, and they'll do you more service than anybody. They'll spot your trucks and get them here when we want them and not hold up the operation. But did you come out and was explaining the boy and I together, we going to get this thing down the system. I said, I promise them. They bid so low on this haul, in other words, because them companies, they make their money on the freight down, see. But they, rather than go empty, they'd rather like to pick up $200 or $300 to pay for the driver and pay for the fuel. And they got to pay the taxes and over. They got this tractor, this truck here paid $5,000 road taxes this last year and all that kind of business. But he said that he's obligated to divide the business between them. And when they get busy, sure enough, like this next week, now it's going to be... It'll be a fighting matter where you can't move for hardly for one of them big trucks or somebody, you know, with a field truck or something on the roads over there.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir. They shovel them things. And this next week, they're going to dig some taters. They dug a lot of them this week. If they dug, you know, all the other grower dug as many as we did, but we moved some taters out this week. We got 20, we dug 20-some-odd trailers this week ourselves.
Mm.
Anywhere from 4 to 5 a day. One day, why, we only got 3. And they only got 4 Friday because the thing, you know, happened to that belt. And the day the axle broke, in other words, that was last week, we only got 3. But you don't know, you can count on about, after you get started, you can count on about 4 to 5 a day anyhow. And that's the average, you know, 20 to 25 a week. And that's about what we got this week. I think that's what it was. Well, I remember looking on the sheet, in other words, the tally sheet where you post it, you know, to the journal. But these truckers, we gonna work that thing to schedule. Well, that's another thing that yesterday. This Jew had called and said, so and so, over at Bird Packing House, got to have 2 trucks. And the boy done made arrangements to bring us one, and he's gonna come and we had it. No, he'd bring an empty and pick up the full one, in other words, and he said another company come. He said, let them, we got to help each other. I'll let him park his trailer and get our money and go over and pull his load. When I come to get mine, before I hook to it, I'll unhook my empty, and I'll hook to his, you know, it's already filled, you know, after the grader belt. And I'll pull it all the way, you know, and jack it up and let it down. And then he says, then I'll get mine, in other words, and I'll be ready to go and pull something over here to this other man, Burrell, I believe, over on that main Burnell Highway. I pull a load there, you know, to the scale. And that's where the main driver gets on it, and then he goes to, if they're going further north, well, they put another driver on it by Atlanta, in other words, and they carry the thing right straight through, let one man, you know, drive the thing 30 hours and hand running. That's not a good policy, you know, let a man do it. Because some of them do it, but it's not a good policy. And these companies want to go for looking out for the men, in other words, and they pay them a pretty good salary. Most all them boys make $150, $200 a week, you know, driving them trucks, but it's a rough life to live. One of them said, Foster, you drive one. I said, well, I started the other day, and it's been 20 years since I've been inside of one of them. It didn't look like he'd ever get the thing backed up into the belt. And I started to ask him, let me, you know, put the rig up there. But you hate to, you know, somebody else had blown to a company, and you hate to tell a driver, in other words, but some of them, they drive on the highway, just like somebody say the tractor drivers, and you get him in a close place or something, or you can see, you know, what he can do right quick. Like we had him over there. Man, you know, well, like that, and they let that trailer get away from him, getting out of that water for him. It's his fault. He half asleep. He let the thing slide in the water for him. If he'd have, you know, been on the thing, and I'm tractor got power steering, every one of them, you know, when you got power steering, it's just like driving that Christ automobile out there. I mean, it's got power steering, hasn't it? Your car's got power steering, hasn't it? Well, it just takes just a little finger job. A weakling can drive one, and I'm tractor the same way. But he's half asleep, you know. He's probably up all night drinking beer and liquor, in other words, and he's just going along that door, you know, and had the thing the right speed, you know, the gas down, you know, with the governor on the tractor digging, and he let the thing slide in that crossfur, they call it, in other words. They call it crossfur. I call it waterfur. They call it crossfur. But I call it waterfur myself. Anyway, it went out of sight. And it didn't move it until it done like I said. It got 2 shovels and dug it out. And then broke that tractor. So then went and got another big John Deere, you know, about 70 to 80 horsepower. Mm. And come hooked to the frame of the John Deere was pulling it. And both John Deere and other, after dug in front of that big 1020 tire, it surprised me. I didn't think he'd ever pull it out. But you know, both of them tractors drug that thing on out of there. And we only had to take off half potatoes and put them in, the, in another truck that parked there. But he's going to unload them all. I said, you've got six men here. And I said, it's going to cost you $50 to unload this load of potatoes. And I said, over home, it didn't cost about $25. And it's only 4 miles downtown. If the wrecker man ought to have one, you know, to hook the side of it, you know, and they pick up one side of the thing, put some cross ties or timbers on the rocks, or he got some old concrete blocks out there next to the shed. He could throw them in that hole, in other words, and cut them up. They never have a plow, no wood, or hit them deeper that way. Well, the thing, you know what I mean, the hole that deep.
Oh, Lord, that's harder.
And his old soft clay that he got on there, too. And I said, he pushed it right on down until he did find a place, you know, where it'd be solid. But they pulled the thing out. But those Jews in that trucking business, now, well, they got it all fouled up, as the driver said, if they give us real authority, well, we keep them here. But when they do that, man, it gets nervous, that Jew, like you said, Bird got to have two trailers. Well, that cut us out of one. Then the machine broke down. And that's when the boy, you know, he's smoking one cigarette after another. And I said, be like the rattlesnake song. I think I told Faye about it. Didn't I say
no.
You know, about the rattlesnake song?
No.
He said in that rattlesnake song, and I told the lady the rest of it over there, nobody help come, you know, to help a cook. He says, Helen, that's my cousin wife. Helen said, you was pretty good cook yourself. Says, how about me pinning the apron on you and you helping us out? But she's all in a turmoil and then got excited and nervous. And that's when I solemnly said, I said, well, it'd be like the rattlesnake song right now. Said, how is that? I've heard that song. It's a talking song about this old country church way back on years ago. You heard it, I mean, number one on the radio picked up a while. But if you haven't heard it, you missed something. You ought to buy a record and play it somewhere on the stereo. So it says in there, it says, don't panic, just take it easy. That's what he told the old girl. And when they brought the rattlesnakes in other words, he said she'd about 17 seconds of hitting the floor. And he said, I was scared too. I was so scared, and she thought I was in the spirits, and she bought me one of them things, and I want to let you know, if there wasn't but five of them rattlesnakes in that box, and I wasn't a bit at all selfish or stingy. I told her to give mine to so-and-so, and that's when she turned white as cotton, and she's about 17 seconds of hitting the floor, and that's when I asked her, for I reckon they want a door. And she said, oh boy, it looks, there ain't no door in the back. And he said, then he said, for I reckon they want one. You gonna make one and get out. You haven't heard the song? Huh? Well, you haven't heard it either? But that the logic that I just said, you know, don't panic, just take it easy. That's what I told that lady, and she laughed and said, well, that's pretty good advice. That's what I told son over there about that machine. But I think he's
well, you checked in with just about everybody the last few days.
Oh, now, yeah, right? That's right. I'm just
about. Shameful. Miss Chitty. I saw over there on her bureau this picture of that old bird with his hat pushed back.
Oh, yeah, that's right, beard.
Yeah,
beard. Well, my granddaddy had the
same
name.
And I said to her, Mrs. Chitty, that wouldn't be Mr. Chitty. And she said, yes. And I walked over there and looked at it. And that's a beautiful picture.
It is, yeah.
And I said to her, was he sick, you know, when he had that? No, she said, yes, she says. That was after he'd already had that trouble with his heart.
Mm-hmm.
But he said he was all right.
Yeah, he was getting along.
And she said, the old Dr. Daly came out here one time, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and she sat in that chair and unwrapped a cigar and smoked it and looked at
ATM, yeah.
Looked at him and says, this ain't going to kill you anytime soon. If you just act with a little sense. I forget what she said, but I had got the notion from Willie that his daddy, you see, had that heart attack, and he wasn't worse anything after that.
No, that's right.
But now that's not his Chitty story.
Well,
let me tell you, what happened was this happened just before the war.
That's right.
And then the boys went off.
That's right.
And you see, all the help went off, like we were saying last time over to Camp Planning.
Yeah.
And he didn't have any help.
That's right.
Frankie or somebody maybe stayed around
there. Frankie, he wouldn't go to his job, his puppy job. Frankie was there.
Was he there?
Yeah.
Well, he
but
didn't have
at the time, Layman, I believe, wasn't living on the place. Layman living up there next area with him.
Yeah.
That's his son-in-law.
Yeah.
Margaret's husband.
Yeah. So he'd go out there and do it himself.
That's right.
And I don't know what it was, but according to Miss Chitty said, the old Dr. Davis said, he'd live a long time with that.
Yeah.
And in that picture, he looks like he's in perfect health.
Yeah.
He's
manly and stationary, in other words, and
solid looking.
Statues.
Yeah,
he seems like he's just there, in other words. Just
he's elderly,
really, yeah.
But he looks sturdy.
But he was a small man, but for his size, in other words, well, he had pretty good vim and vitality, pretty strong.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. He'd get out there and wake anybody to death and pulling that fodder and shocking that sharp with fodder, you know, where they save that, you know,
yeah.
For them horses.
Yeah.
And he'd wet them boys to death.
And he loved to do it, didn't
he? Yeah, he loved to do it. Yes, sir. And get out there with a hole or something and dig that cassava.
Yeah.
He'd pull it out of the ground, dig it out. But if you have it in the sandy land where it rolled, it wasn't too hard, you know, to gather. It wasn't too bad to crop the harvest, town.
Yeah.
It was, really easier than potatoes, sweet potatoes, because you didn't have to do too much with it.
Yeah.
He saved, it's kind of like sugar cane. He saved them tops, he'd top it like sugar cane and put it in the fur and bank it. Like you do sugar cane, you know, save seed, and it goes to cassava.
Yeah.
Then you come along and catch a hold of that stalk and soft dirt, and you pull it up, and you'd have three or four of those tubulus roots, you know, that long.
Yeah.
And some of them, you know, be good size.
Oh.
Be a good joint of it. In other words, one chunk of it'll make about three or four puddings.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And they were good puddings, that cassava pudding, they were real eating.
Yeah.
Really good stuff. So, but Chitty, after he got sick, why, he complained of it, and he made it, you know, to the house, in other words, to the place, in other words. But after he got out, I called in to see him, you know, I visited him, you know, off and on, and I said then, well, I said, I don't believe the old fellow make it through. That's my idea, in other words.
But that was a long way after he
first
got
it. Yeah, after he had the attack, in other words.
Yeah.
But then when he got down, in other words, the next time, in other words, by then, that's when, he didn't stay very long.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah. Did she tell you about
it? He got over the first attack,
uh-huh.
But the next one...
She didn't tell you about it.
No.
It didn't take too long to came out.
How long apart were they? Several years?
Yes. I'd say three or four years.
Is that all?
But as you said a moment ago, I contribute, you know, to him of the old desertion, and Willie, Willie's service, Martin's service, Monroe's service, and Frank was the only one there, and Lane was living up that area. And Frankie was kind of mama's baby, and he had a little stomach trouble and all when he was baby.
Oh, yeah.
He'd been, you know, he kind of human. He's, I guess maybe a word to say a pet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A kind of a privileged child, in other words. Didn't force too much on him, you know. That's the reason she counts on him now, you know, the character of the story, you know, and this, that, and the other. And it's still the pet of the privileged child.
Just like he always was.
Yeah. But Willie, in other words, he's in service, and... Monroe and Martin and Willie was my daddy, and I was working in Tampa then. Willie came with daddy, he and his wife, and that's when one of them girls, you know, and she's Willie's oldest girl.
Barbara.
Yeah, Barbara. I'd say Barbara, what old Barbara's 20.
What,
25 years old?
What kind of wallboard was that they used when they sealed your house over there?
I call it beaver board.
A beaver board, that's right. That's
I believe that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's really tough. And
Then,
you know, didn't have these.
How did they stick it together?
You just like this perforated Sellotex. You know what Sellotex is? You strip it, you know, and they strip that board. Mm, stripped it.
It's
stripping.
Yeah. Well, what's Miss Chitty got on her house over there?
I believe that's sheetrock. Not sure. I believe it's sheetrock, isn't it?
I
believe
it is. So. Maybe it is.
I believe it's sheetrock.
Yeah. Mr. Maxie Mixon said
Did you see the boy?
He said that if you couldn't wait, when he told you he'd see you tonight, he didn't know that they would plan to have this bunch of children. He's got but he's got about 24 kids down there.
He'll be down until 10
And he said if you couldn't wait.
I'll just leave with him.
He said to tell you, he said to tell you that he'd see you in the morning.
Well, I didn't care. Just leave him on the truck if he wants to come on out the house. But I think maybe if you had seen him, he would save him a trip. Because I got to see about my truck, and I might not be there. Of course, he could pick him up. But I could leave him out here.
I think he was thinking about talking to you about
that. The truck. Yeah. Well, he's talked like it'd be several weeks before he'd have the money. The boy'd have the money.
You can just run right by there. He's right down that corner, isn't he?
Well, he's in and out.
I wouldn't want to bother him with a children.
I can just
leave him on there, and if he's gonna come, you could tell him, to come, kind of early, cause I was gonna see about my truck in the morning. Yeah.
Max said, this won't take me a minute. I said to him, it's kind of remarkable, Mr. Mason. You've been here all this time. You never did any public work, and.
I kind of admired him for it.
Yeah.
I thought I've always had to do a little bit, just hire out his fellowship. And yesterday he caught me. He said, "I've been thinking about what you said." "Yes, I never did do any public work." He says, "But I always had my eye on it." He says, "I wanted to get into it." And he says, right this minute, if I could get out and make $1.50 an hour, I sure would do it. He says, what my time's worth? He says, it's worth about 25 cents an hour.
That's what nice is.
That's
what
he said.
Well, he got the point where he feel like he just can't move around and do what he can. Now, his wife can run circles.
Well, he said he never had been able to get out in public work. He didn't have much education. Well, what education does it take to get out and do public work?
He had as much as my brother, the same age as he is.
Yeah.
And he's making about $4 an hour.
Yeah.
And he learned it, he picked it up. In other words, he started an apprentice at a sheet metal shop, in other words, and he got where he could bend that metal and cut it.
I don't and see wait with how that stuff. He could have done it. Well, Maxie, he's got all that land.
Well, and I told, of course, I don't like to talk out of school. But it might get back, and say, "You told so-and-so something." Facts is facts.
Well, now, some of it he inherited.
Well, that's what I said a while ago. And some of it, in other words, they say that he misrepresented his sister, in other words, and, worked around and got it away from him. And they didn't contest it, see?
That's what I mean. Well, he took care of his parents.
And that's what they said, but the girl did more taking care of, because they taking care of him, too.
I see.
Up until he married, in other words, then he didn't want them to marry. Because the boy working with daddy wanted to marry one of his sisters, and he'd get hot, and he'd get me, I was younger, in other words, and I'd hand notes, see? I'd hand them notes, and he didn't want her to receive them notes. Them little love notes, I call it. And he caught me one time, and I carried him. I ride my horse. We had some good horses. And my older brother was riding the horse, and I went to a sawmill right in front of Max's house. And I'd go and bring the horse back, because we use a horse, it's a work animal. It's like you say, something like Persian stock. But it's a good work horse and a good riding horse, too. We had two of them. And my brother, he rode one of them to work. Now, we'd rather walk, about, I guess, a mile and a half, 2 miles. And I was a kid, and I enjoyed, going and riding that horse back. That's when this boy was working with my dad, he wasn't working with me, he was working on the farm. By the way, that's Miss Chitty's brother. He was working with my daddy, her brother. My folks raised him in the man, up in the manhood, from, I'd say, 17 years older, and Willie's uncle Bill. And he was the one that was courting Max's sister. And he'd give me, I was just a teenage boy, in other words, and he'd write those love notes and let me slip it to her. Not an open, but I'd have to slip it to that girl. And sometime I'd have to go down in the, hitch the horse to the fence and go down the bean row, be picking beans, and slip with that love note. See?
Willie's Uncle Bill.
Yeah, Willie's Uncle Bill.
Wait,
and Max and I went to court one time slipping a note, see? Of course, I was too young, you know, the courts, you know, and carrying on in foolishness, in other words, myself, because that woman is, I guess she's older than Max. I'd say she's 75. And Bill was about, I think Bill was about 65. She was older than Bill. 65, I think. But at the time, there wasn't that much difference, in other words. But, I mean, that's when they broke it all up, and he didn't marry her. He married another woman, you see. But the Max, you know, when he was shrewd enough to catch me, and that's when he didn't like it. And he kind of teased me, you know, and told me that he thought I wouldn't bring them notes anymore, you know, for Lois. But somewhere along the line, in other words, this little bit of shade of work, and that's where he'd gotten kind of some of the hope, in other words. And now the girl seemed to think that Maxie was, like Frankie, kind of the pet or the tutor or the privileged child. And he was a baby boy. And like I said, his sisters all older. Two of them are living together now over there. Did you meet them too? Maxie's two sisters?
Where they live?
They're living right there around that Grady Road there together in a home. One of them is 80, one of them about 90, and the other one is about, I'd say, she just had one or two wrecks, you know, and I think she quit driving a car. But that's the one that Bill, Willie's Uncle Bill, you know, quoted, the one that had the automobile. That one, your little, I think they call that thing a Chevrolet Nova, or Nava, whatever you call it, Nava 2 or Nova 2 or something.
Oh, yeah.
And she wouldn't see him. He used to get, and Max was sick in the hospital, she'd come by and get me to drive the car, in other words. Well, there's kin folks, you know, down third, fourth curtain, and I didn't mind helping them out, so I'd go up there to see Max on Sunday afternoon. And that medical center is the same as the town, you know, and they didn't know how to park or anything. She's hard of hearing, and her sister's deaf. But this and it, hard of hearing, use a hearing aid, and she can hear. But I drive the car. But, since I've been busy and off, in other words, well, I say she's been having the kids other than the doctor once in a while, and she had one or two wrecks, and I don't know whether she lost the license or whether she just got afraid to drive, and I don't know what she done in the car. I hadn't asked that little girl that lives on top of the hill there, but she kind of looks after him. That's Gladys. You met her?
Mm-hmm.
She lives, you know where the Grady Road, the first house coming around, you know where the trailer is? Well, the trailer, Gladys' boy, and one of them did have another trailer, but he's working for the IBM machine company in North Carolina after he finished his school, his technical knowledge, in other words, and electronics. And he's up there, you know, for 2 years on a, I don't know, $15,000, $20,000 a year job. But the other boy living in the trailer, and he's working at the university. He's got his master, and he's working on his doctor's degree now. But right around the corner there is where the two sisters live, and that's the two. It stayed with Max, in other words, and Max had rented all that, you know, where that lush of passion of and all that place? That belonged to them girls.
Yeah.
But them girls, now, don't you say it, I said this, you know, because if you get back, I know it's you. Talk out of school. But the girl told me, and I don't know, but they said that he don't pay us no rent at all, and we are just living on our little pension, our welfare checks. And her sister, after her husband died, she got $11,000 out of the state. And she got out and down there because the solar popped in. That's when she got the money out of the property her husband had. And Max didn't want to marry that man, but he's a carpenter and also a phosphate man, formerly a phosphate man down here at Brooksville, I believe where it was. But the home was in Full City. And I'd go down this, and that's where I'd kill my turkeys. And do lots and lots of fishing. The lakes there, you can go for 10 miles and from the canals to lakes and catch them bass. And Lois's husband, wanted, all he did is work the motor in them canals. And I sat in the front of that boat, you know, and with that thing, you know, and just pull them bass on in. Sometimes he had to cut the motor off, you know, and help the landing, in other words. And he got a big kick out of it. But he didn't care a thing in the world about fishing. He enjoyed me sitting in front of that boat. But he had, and he sold a property, in other words, why she got a child part, and her part was $11,000. And then the solar, the heir, like I am, the boy, bought it. He was a veteran, in other words, and Uncle Sam, you know, gave him 100 years, 1,000 years to pay for it, in other words. They let him have the money. That's where they do the color, the white, and all. You know how that goes on. And but she got her money, and she come up here and put a three rooms on that house, and she got her section house, like this side of the house is hers, and this side over here belongs to her sister. And Maxie don't have much to do with them, except, you know, use the land off for rent, in other words. But he'd like for them to deed that, but this girl on top of the hill has done bought one piece of property. And I wouldn't be surprised if they ain't made arrangements. If they made a will to maybe let them have the rest of it, them looking out for. And you know how the old people are, they gray-haired, you know, they set the hair and fix them up, you know, and they call them to go and get medicine for them, and now they're not ready to call them to care of the doctor, they're on the go. But Maxie don't care of the doctor. So they told me, I don't know, now it's a problem of mine. But I've been busy and working, I don't have time to drive a car. Not that I wouldn't mind it, but I just, you know what I mean, I'm not retired or nothing, and I got to work, and you know, I make all the money. I reckon both of them, they got the money, both of them got money. And like Maxie, you know what, he got money, he's always been close.
Has he got money?
He got the money now. Yeah, he not broke. Maxie got money. Yes, sir.
Has he made money on cows?
Yeah. He made money on cows. He used to make money on a little farm. He had pole beans and sweet corn and when he was able to farm. He made it on squash. Conservative.
How long has he been married?
Well, I don't know. I'd say 40 years. He got that one boy and all he got, you know, and I'd say he's 40 years old. Now, he'll take over when something happens, I reckon, but he don't care anything about it. His wife is a society woman, in other words. She's up in society. She quit him one time, but they have one grown boy. He's in college. Max's son has got a boy in college. Yeah, in university.
Well, what's his wife's name?
Max's? Iva May.
Iva May?
Yeah, and
she
was a Wilson girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was a Barton.
She pets him too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That talking with that drawing.
Yeah.
Mac. He powdered and pampered. You know what they're saying is.
All his life.
Puff powdered and all. Well, he's been preferred. You know, and after him being in the family, preferred, pampered, patted and furred. In other words, by his sisters and his family, daddy and all. Why then Max married her, why then Isla May has done the same thing. You've seen that, I reckon, without me telling you. I didn't bring no hat. I think I left it at the house. You asked me. But I wanted to get a pan, and I was going to get some of the small red potatoes and give you one or two of those French fries.
Oh.
I went by the packing house, and they'd run everything. The man told me he'd have some, and he done put them on the truck. They let each one have 100 bags apiece. And they go on those trucks, and those trucks are red potatoes. They go to, you know, the Tennessee, Kentucky, and places like that.
Everett,
I'll tell you one thing. That pasture that Maxie's got is the prettiest pasture I've seen anywhere.
It's good. It's plenty good. Yes, that's what they are talking about. Now he says, I don't know, but what makes his whole moisture and our grass look like it wants to die? That's what he says. He said, I miss you because I wanted you to go and get another load of Sipsa pup.
Listen,
can I have a glass of water? Let me have a drink in here.
I'm telling you.
We're about to monopolize you, and you're about to go to sleep on us.
And
I told a friend of mine, I said, I know his talk is not innocent to you.
Yes,
I wish I had known Maxie years ago.
Yeah, he's
on that pasture. I never have seen such grass.
Yeah, he's right. No question about that.
And you take all the time passing out potatoes.
That's right.
I'll
darn
if I do it. Give him the bucket there.
He'll
let him drink out of the bucket.
Let me drink out of what? The bucket.
He said, let you drink out of the jug.
Oh, the jug.
And
oh. No, she got enough in, enough to wet my tonsil when I get to the house. I'll talk so.
No, sir. If I had seen that, and he's a poor man.
Yeah.
That pastor, you know, mm-hmm. You know, if it's a rich man, I'd figure he just poured everything to it. I never had any such pasture.
Well, you know it. He put some fertilizer to it, and that's the reason when it got that one rain,
yeah.
It woke up that ryegrass.
Yeah.
Then it's come to life. And he didn't have enough cows to take care of it. It's like you'd fertilize yours down and had more pasture. In other words, if you'd fertilize it after that sprinkle rain out over him before.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's still fairly good shape because you had an over pasture. Max didn't do it here. He had enough. With his sister's land and his land, in other words.
When you going to put in your
Millex? Coastal? It'll be in I imagine it'd probably be August.
That late?
Yeah.
Why so
I want to get it for, you know, for the rains, you know, subside.
Oh, aren't you
but
getting
I'll
it early?
Get it in between, see?
Aren't you getting early?
Well, there's not really no advantage in it, because if you get it early, why, the weeds will bother you so bad.
Oh.
The weeds will bother you, see? So the later you can get it, no, what, the weeds won't bother you, see? Now, I haven't been around it. You go down that graded road the other day, and that girl said she would think over it and see it. She wanted to maybe keep that thing until I got ready to sow it, you know, behind that rye. And she was going to put it in this billet. But I told her what I was planning on putting in about 10 acres, but it's too dry, and I just wasn't going to spend the fertilizer or the, you know, go to the spent to put it out.
Well,
right?
It's too late to put out millet. You want to put out millet when you put out corn.
Yeah, that's right, when you plant your corn.
Yeah.
That's right. And you'd be grading on it now, because you have
that's right.
The Pangolin, in other words, there's nothing to my Pangolin, in other words, and if it rained, I'll go.
I put out millet over here one time. It was one of the worst droughts we had, and I put my cows on that millet the 16th day of May.
There you are. That's about right.
Right in the heart of the drought.
That's right.
Well, and it held up.
Yeah. Well, that's when you need it, in other words, because you haven't got too much grass, in other words, until, you know, late on.
But my trouble is getting it.
You feel like walking? Walking out and let me get a few taters. We'll let you go to bed.
I
you
don't
go
need to go to bed.
You don't give out.
No, I have to give out. I tell you, I think.
Take the flashlight. That's a good one right there.
Maybe we should have
rolled
the wagon,
Peg. That's a good
one
right out there.
I didn't
see it.
Yeah. Yeah, we
should have
gone on the wagon.
We should have rolled the wagon.
Sure, sure.
I enjoy it on that.
I like it.
Been an old time. It's been a long time.
That's time to right around 8:25 or 30, and the end of the visit with Everett this Saturday, late after supper now, the 8th of May, 1971. Channel 2 right, 8:25, 30, and the end of the visit with Everett this Saturday, late, it's after supper now, towards bedtime, 9 o'clock, I guess, the 8th of May, 1971, Channel 2 right. And the end of the visit with Everett, late after supper, this Saturday, the 8th of May, 1971.